You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, September 23, 2021. Never give up. Can higher crude oil prices revive the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale play? Published by Housley Carr. A long, long time ago, or more precisely, in the spring of 2014, when WTI was selling for more than $110 per barrel, a handful of exploration and production companies were convinced they were onto something big in southwestern Mississippi and east central Louisiana. There, they believed, the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale, or TMS, was poised to become the next Bakken, the U.S.'s premier shale play at the time, but even better for producers seeking more robust crude prices because of TMS's very low gas-to-oil ratio, an oil cut north of 92%, dash in proximity to Gulf Coast refineries. While there had been a host of failed efforts by producers to wring out large volumes of premium-priced Louisiana light sweet, or LLS, oil from the marine shale sedimentary silts and clays, the E&Ps felt in their bones that they were finally cracking the code. Then, at just the wrong time, came an oil price crash that set the whole industry back on its heels, and activity in the TMS quickly slowed to a crawl. As we discuss in today's RBN blog, an even smaller cadre of Tuscaloosa Marine Shale true believers is now banking on a production revival in the core of the play. As we said in our first blog on the TMS back in 2013, the sedimentary rock formation, generally only a couple of hundred feet thick, lies 12,000 to 18,000 feet below the surface of a swath of central Louisiana and southwestern Mississippi. A 1997 study by the Louisiana Geological Survey estimated the 8 million acre shale play has potential reserves of 7 billion barrels of oil, which would make it among the most hydrocarbon-rich regions in the U.S. The dark gray marine shale within the formation consists of fine-grained, organic-rich sedimentary silts and clays deposited more than 80 million years ago. The Eagle Ford deposits in South Texas were formed at about the same time, but they are closer to the surface, 5,000 to 7,000 feet, typically, and the rock is more brittle and far more permeable. The sediment that washed down the Mississippi River gave the TMS a different geological composition that makes it much more difficult to recover oil from it. The depth and low permeability of the play's soft rock and clay scared off many a driller, as did the thin layer within it that offers natural fracturing and increased permeability. Before we get to recent developments and current activity in the TMS, let's examine a little history on previous efforts to drill there. A vertical well drilled in Amite County, Mississippi, in 1962 ended up a dry hole, but passed through 3 feet of oil-saturated TMS, indicating the potential to exploit the shale. A handful of successful vertical wells were drilled in the 1970s, but not much else happened until the shale era started in the 2000s. In 2007 to 2008, the first horizontal wells were drilled in the TMS by a few pioneering E&Ps, including Encore Acquisitions, in Mississippi's Wilkinson County and Louisiana's East Feliciana and St. Helena parishes. By the early 2010s, the shale play attracted a few more producers: Encana Corporation, Goodrich Petroleum, Sanchez Energy, Alcon Energy, Comstock Energy, Devon Energy, and EOG Resources among them, that leased acres, sought permits, drilled wells, and tweaked completion formulas in the hope of preventing the soft rock and clay in the TMS from sealing. Their efforts worked, to some degree. By mid to late 2014, scores of horizontal wells had been drilled in the TMS, and the dozen or so that produced the most, the ones with initial production, or IP, rates of 1,000 BD or more and estimated ultimate recoveries, or EURs, of 600 to 800,000 barrels, generally had a few things in common: a horizontal lateral of at least 5,000 feet, at least 1,600 pounds of proppant per foot, a lot for the time, and a hybrid frac design with a significant percentage of slick water and linear gel before the cross-linked gel phase. Oh, and virtually all of those wells were located within a small, cigar-shaped area straddling the Louisiana-Mississippi state line. With the late 2014 collapse in oil prices, which continued through 2015 and early 2016, and the cost of drilling and completing a good TMS well still averaging about $13 million, many of the E&Ps active in the shale play pulled back on or suspended their drilling activity there. That shrunk the number of active rigs in the TMS from 16 in the spring of 2014 to only 3 or 4 a year later. As we understand it, producers' thinking was that, while per well costs could be trimmed by 10% or more, if crude oil prices settled in at less than $70 or $65 per barrel, it would be difficult for producers to make a profit, and no one knew how low prices might fall. Oil prices stabilized between $50 per barrel and $60 per barrel in 2016 to 2017 and hung out in the $70 per barrels for most of 2018, but by then most TMS producers had shifted their attention to other basins, especially the Permian, that offered lower drilling and completion costs and a surer return on their investment. Not everyone gave up on the TMS, though. While many TMS pioneers moved on, a Perth, Australia-based E&P Australis Oil and Gas moved in, accumulating acreage in the shale plays core since 2016. Australis now holds more than 100,000 acres along the Louisiana-Mississippi border, including 62,000 acres that it acquired from Encana, now Ovintiv, in early 2017 for $80 million. More on the company's holdings and activity in a moment. Prior to forming Australis, the company's founders had been early entrants in the Eagle Ford, founding Aurora Oil and Gas in 2005 and eventually selling the company and its rights to 22,000 acres in the South Texas Shale play to Calgary, Alberta-based Baytex Energy for more than $2.3 billion. The folks at Australis Oil and Gas, now the largest operator and producer in the TMS, have said they see it as one of the U.S.'s less delineated and appraised but as yet undeveloped shale plays with large potential. Further, they believe that, with limited high-quality, undeveloped acreage still available in the Bakken and Eagle Ford, and with much of the best acreage in the Permian now in the hands of only a few companies, some enterprising producers are starting to consider what the next new production area will be, and how they can get in on it early. Australis's focus in the TMS to date has been on assembling and maintaining what it views as the best, most promising acreage in the shale play, continuing profitable production from its three dozen or so operated wells in the play, which produce about 1,200 BD, all of it trucked to refineries in the area, and sharing technical information with prospective partners it hopes will provide the capital to take TMS to the next level. According to the company's mid-year update, the about 10,000 acres that Australis plans to develop over the next 5 years holds 21 million barrels of proved plus probable, or 2P, reserves, and its remaining acreage holds another 149 million barrels of estimated, contingent reserves. It remains to be seen whether those reserves will be economically recoverable in the long term, but today's prices certainly are a boon. Kudos to Australis for trying to revive interest in the TMS, for never giving up, as today's song title suggests. But it's a tough sell, given the shale play's failure to launch in the mid-2010s, the subsequent bankruptcy filings by a handful of TMS pioneers, and the cautious investment strategies guiding most E&Ps today, especially those that are publicly held. Hydrocarbon production areas can have second lives. Recall that the first U.S. oil well, drilled in Titusville, Pennsylvania, in 1859, is located within what is now the Marcellus Utica Shale Play, and that the Haynesville Play in northwestern Louisiana has seen its ups and downs. Still, with the Permian Bakken, and other major plays offering shallower pay dirt, lower drilling costs, simpler completions, and many, many years of supply, TMS may already have had its moment in the sun. Never Give Up was written by Jermaine Dupri, Brian Michael Cox, and Jonna Austin. It appears as the 18th track on Whitney Houston's posthumous album, I Will Always Love You, the best of Whitney Houston. The previously unreleased song was programmed and produced by Jermaine Dupri and Brian Michael Cox. I Will Always Love You, the best of Whitney Houston was recorded between 1984 and 2010 and was released in November 2012. It went to number 2 on the Billboard Top R&B Hip Hop Albums chart and number 14 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. One single, a duet with R. Kelly, I Look to You, was released from the LP. Whitney Houston was an American singer and actress as well as one of the best-selling music artists of all time, with sales of over 200 million records worldwide. Houston made her acting debut in the 1992 romantic thriller, The Bodyguard. She recorded 6 songs for the soundtrack album for the film, including Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You, which sold over 20 million copies worldwide, making it the best-selling single from a female artist in music history. The Bodyguard soundtrack album won a Grammy Award for Record of the Year and remains the best-selling soundtrack album of all time, with worldwide sales of over 45 million copies. Houston released 7 studio albums, 1 live album, 2 soundtrack albums, 6 compilation albums, 7 EPs, and 53 singles. She starred in 4 feature films, 1 made-for-television movie, 7 TV episodes, and several commercials. She has won 25 American Music Awards, 20 Billboard Music Awards, 3 Brit Awards, 5 Grammy Awards, 1 MTV Video Music Award, and 3 World Music Awards. Houston is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Grammy Hall of Fame, Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame, and Singers Hall of Fame. She died in Beverly Hills in February 2012 at the age of 48.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.